This is Vectis Radio.
This show is sponsored by God's Providence House. Find us in St. Thomas's Square, Newport, for great homemade meals, cream teas and cakes. We are open 9 to 5 all the year round. Find us on Facebook or call us on 522 085.
Now it's time for the lunchtime social debate. We have in the studio, we have you.
Isaac.
Isaac.
Yes.
Isaac.
Pointer-Chard.
Pointer-Chard, okay.
I was here yesterday.
And I've been pulling your leg all morning, calling you Joe.
Yeah.
And at some point, you did get a bit sort of stroppy about it, didn't you?
Yeah, you should. I've been here for 2 days. You know my name by now.
And? All right, well, we sort of semi-planned something.
Yeah.
Okay, but as normal, I never write anything down, and, you know, we never... I don't like to plan things. I like to just let them happen.
Yeah. Let the ball roll.
Yeah, let the ball roll. Yeah, I'm liking that.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's find out a little bit more about you first of all. You're on work experience.
I am indeed.
Stroke four-piece course.
Yep.
You're based at Cowes.
Cowes Enterprise College.
And how long have you been there?
Since year seven, so I'm in year 11 now, so we're looking at 4 years.
Right, okay. Stop fiddling with that microphone.
Thank Just you. Trying to get it in the perfect position. Chill. Jeez.
Would you speak to Rog like that?
No. Good. I get chased down the street. Crikey.
All right, so here you are, work experience.
Yes.
And what do you want to go into the army, but what do you want to do in the army? Is it like you want to be
an officer,
or you want to work in... Because what we said yesterday, you know, here's the thing. What is radio?
What is radio? It's like a public address system.
Now, what did we say? You didn't hear a word I said.
I did.
So, what is radio?
It's a form of communication.
Above everything else,
it's a form of communication.
It's communication. Yeah,
there we go.
And I know that you know communications is big in the army. So you know, is that maybe something that you go towards? I don't know.
But, yeah, I could do army radio.
You could.
You could do the whole "Good Morning Vietnam."
I was just you took the words right out of my mouth. Could you do that?
I could take... Oh, my gosh. Could I actually?
This would be good. Go on.
Good morning, Vietnam! How was that?
Yeah, very good. You know, when you get back home, and you know, if your mum is listening...
Yeah.
If she hasn't listened today, I'd be very disappointed. But what I will do is I'll say, well, look, we recorded this. You get another chance to hear it tonight at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
So you can go through it all again.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things you wanted to talk about yesterday, because I said one of the things, you've got to come up with an idea for a lunchtime social debate.
I did.
Okay, and you come up with the idea of...
Steroids in sports.
Okay, steroids in so is it just steroids? Are they just known as steroids, or you
they're
know?
Known as... So here's the actual proper description. Drug enhancements. So enhancements due to drugs is like the term. So they're a big thing in sports at the moment because...
Just bang your phone down.
I apologise.
Good.
I will hold it. So, I have a list here, and we're primarily going to talk about the Olympics. We might go into... I don't suppose you know what UFC is. I think we had this talk yesterday and you're a bit...
UFC?
UFC, Ultimate Fight Contest. It's a big thing. Right. Have you ever heard of Conor McGregor?
Yes.
Yes, he's with the UFC.
Okay, big fight recently with a proper boxer.
Floyd Mayweather.
And he got beat.
And he got knocked out. Yeah. Well, not knocked out, but DKO'd.
He got beat.
Yeah, let's say that. So,
lack of discipline.
Trappy. He went
too
in too hard at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was giving it all of that mouth-wise and didn't have it to back
up. They both were, really.
I think the other guy acted really, really well, actually. Because, just to be honest, if you've got somebody, you know, like nose-to-nose giving it large, it must be very, very off-putting. And I thought
at one point he threw money at him, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, I thought he chucked money at him.
See, I would have picked it up.
Yeah. Well, I think it was like $1 bills.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I don't think it would have been worth much.
Okay. Can you just... Because obviously, we've heard stories in the past about steroids.
Yeah.
Okay, and, you know, very recently, I think there was somebody, a footballer, that tested positive for cocaine.
No.
I mean, I'm not expecting you to know the answer, but I'm just going to chuck it out there anyway, just in case you do.
Go.
What's the difference between a steroid and cocaine? Is there
So, cocaine, of course, we've all seen in the movies, they sniff cocaine.
Yeah. Can it be deemed as an enhanced, would it enhance the performance?
So, cocaine is a class A drug.
Yeah.
And I think steroids are a class C. So, steroids can be taken in a number of ways, in pills, or they can be injected into the gluteus maximus, as it's called, the bum muscle. And they're not similar in any way.
Right.
Because I don't know the effects of cocaine, never taken it myself, of course. But steroids is basically, the whole point of a steroid is it boosts your testosterone levels.
Yeah.
Testosterone, yeah. And it just makes you have more energy, so you can go for a longer period without having to rest. And so in the case of Ben Johnson's, maybe if he hadn't taken steroids, he wouldn't have been able to run so fast. But because he took steroids, he was able to run faster and beat other sprinters.
Do you know what, the really sad thing about that is I remember seeing it, and I remember thinking, wow, what a race.
Yeah.
And I was honestly, what would I have been, 22 years old, and I was gutted when he was stripped of the medal, purely and simply because I'd watched it. I'd watched the fastest man in the world run a race, win it, beat Carl Lewis, and it was, you know, it was a lovely feeling. And then to have that taken away, because you've watched it, observed it, and respected his massive, yeah, massive achievement. And then you think, what an idiot. What a fool.
So, in 1988, which is the same year Ben Johnson got stripped of his gold medal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bulgaria, a weightlifter in the 56 kilograms, and one in the weightlifting department a bit above,
yeah,
him, both from Bulgaria, both got tested positive for steroids, and they were stripped of both their gold medals. And Hungary, in the 100 kg, was stripped of their silver medal because they got caught using steroids.
And fair enough.
Fair enough. The next couple years, somebody from the Unified Team, which is, do you know what that is?
But the Unified Team.
Yeah, so it's the team that if the country doesn't have enough Olympians, they.
All right. So Unified, I think somebody took part recently, didn't they? In the World Championships, where they called themselves a Unified Team, and they were members. I think they were members of the old Russia because they were banned, weren't they?
One of them got tested positive the next year in weightlifting. They got stripped of their bronze medal.
So, you mentioned Ben Johnson there.
Ben Johnson,
okay,
Canadian sprinter.
He reckons that he was given a drink by his coach, and he didn't know anything about it. He just took the drink. Now, in all honesty, we will never ever know whether that's true or not.
Here's the thing: East German swim team, 1 year, claimed the exact same thing, that their coaches were supposed to be giving them vitamins, and it turns out they were giving them steroids. That's what they claimed.
Mm.
So there could be this whole thing that it's the coaches and not the actual athletes themselves. But
must be so, so difficult.
I've never taken steroids. Of course I've never taken steroids, but surely you'd notice a difference.
Yeah, definitely. I've got another question for you. Before you go off on one again, I've got another question. Let's just come back a bit.
Yeah,
bring it back a bit.
Yeah.
When you go for all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And like you've mentioned all of these people and so on. And it's only in the last couple of years that we're now testing... Who's it? Somebody from the British team got a medal because they'd done something. They tested something in 2011. So she got a gold medal instead of a silver. And you think, how come it takes so long? Shouldn't there be something in place that... Just say, for instance, if you take part in something... Okay, you are tested. Everyone is tested straight away. Everyone is tested, and then that is not kept. It doesn't need to be. They've tested you, and that's it. Job done. You're okay to run.
Okay.
How come it takes so long? Because some of the stories that we're hearing, Jennifer Ennis-Hill,
yeah,
She got a gold medal awarded to her at the last World Championships, which was a couple of months ago, because of the gold that she should have got back in 2011. And you think, why has it taken you 6 years to do that?
That's to go through court trials.
That's just daft.
Here's the thing. I was watching Sank. When they finish a race, even this is for everybody, they're immediately given water and they are followed by an agent from the national sort of association to do with the Olympics. This person follows them until they go to the toilet. This person has to have a clear view of them going. And so, and then they take the sample off, and it's about 3 or 4 weeks for the sample to be tested because they've got to go through all the athletes. And once it's tested, it takes about 3 or 4 days for the results to come back. And then they have to, if they test positive, they send it off to the higher power. The higher power says, okay. And then it goes to the courts. And most of the time, they'll end up having their medal stripped and given a small ban and having to pay a fine.
Surely they've got to put something in place that's easier to monitor and easier to control, because at the moment it's taking way too long. And I'm just thinking, you just said then, what's really strange is here, we trust, there's an awful lot of trust here. You've just run a race and somebody hands you a bottle of water. And that might just be, you don't know who it is.
Yeah.
And you don't know what's in that carton of water. You don't, because it's on trust.
Yeah.
Again, so I look at that and I think, being a suspicious sort of person that I am, could be a whole load of sabotage here. But because it takes so long, there could be even more chance to sabotage things.
Here's the thing: a lot of prescription medication has a form of steroids in it. So if they are ill at some point and they have to take it,
sure,
it's got steroids in it. There's multiple forms of steroids.
Bradley Wiggins was accused of this.
Yeah.
He had something, a nasal spray or something.
Lance Armstrong used it as his original defence when he was first picked up on steroids. He said, oh, I took some medication. And everybody went, oh, okay. And it turns out that he actually was taking proper full-on steroids.
I look at it and I think if you're on steroids and you're going into a sport, it's so wrong. It is a form of cheating, but it's so sneaky, and people are so clever, and because there's so much emphasis on winning, and nowadays there's more money involved and so on. So
huge prize money.
There's so much. Wouldn't it be great if they just had a look? Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to have the steroid games.
Yeah.
Where you can use as much as you possibly like.
2012, and was 2012 London Olympics? Yeah, basically. Just from here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26.
Come back to us in a minute, won't you?
25 competitors.
Where did you go then?
From different countries, were all caught using steroids.
Right.
Two from Ukraine, one from the United States, a couple from Turkey, most of them from Russia.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is just now, what if we just had a steroid games?
Steroid games?
Yeah, steroid
games. Just juice them up.
Yeah, and say to these people, hey, look,
yeah,
you've been on steroids before, you've been caught, you can go in these steroids games, that's fine.
Yeah.
We're not going to cover it, not in a big way, but yeah, that's what you want to do it, go and be a gold medalist if you want to. But we need to clean these up.
Yeah.
And if you do appear in these games and you're caught to be on steroids, you're banned from everything. And make the sentences stiffer. Now, the problem is, in Maria Sharapova's defence, you know, she was using something that was at the time banned but now not. I look at that and I think, well, if you were caught using steroids, a proper pucker steroid, we should ban you for life. There's no question. But you can go in the steroid games if you want.
This was in the case of an Antonio Silva, who's a UFC fighter.
Right.
He has a thing called giganticism. He's 6'5", and he's a very tall guy. He has a thing called giganticism, and he has to take steroids to be able to control it. So they gave him at first a little thing saying, "Yeah, it's fun, but you have to take under a certain amount of limit." So the thing is, though, how does he control that amount that he can take? So it's the whole thing that if you're medicated in this case with steroid, in like infused pills, that's fine. If you have to take steroids, you have to be able to control that. But in her case, it's kind of weird because she was taking something that was banned. She knew it was banned. She was doing something wrong. So I feel like it should, the ban should still be there, but maybe just a little bit shortened.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Shortened? No, I think stiffer sentences.
Stiffer sentences?
Yeah, too
really.
Right. Yeah, strict. Be stricter. You know, the sad thing is, and this is highlighting the fact that you don't... It's not just being a sportsman or woman. You need to be some kind of doctor as well to work out what you're allowed to take, what's in what. I mean, I know that if you've got a cold and you take something, there is every chance that you might fail a test.
Arnold, I think, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger? When he caught using steroids during weightlifting, he said he was basically became a whistleblower and he said, everybody's using it. Because if you don't, you haven't got a chance.
Yeah, but that's different with weightlifting, isn't it? I don't think it was.
Is it? Weightlifting's in the Olympics.
But when he's trying to be Mr. Universe and he's pumping himself up, I mean, come on.
It's still illegal.
Let's be honest. Those guys that you see there with.
They're all on something, probably.
Exactly.
They're all using something. When you see, like, the massive guys are just like. They've got muscles on their muscles. You know, there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
There's no.
That's not natural, is
Hulk Hogan, the wrestler. He got done for using steroids.
Well, it's funny you should bring up wrestling. Now, if you look at most of the American wrestlers...
Huge.
Not most. There's an awful lot that were massive in size.
Yeah.
They were big stars as well.
Yeah.
A lot of them are no longer with us. And 9 times out of 10, it's drug-related.
I think that... just trying to think of one off the top of my head. You could use an example... I'm big into wrestling, so I know a lot of wrestlers. Test was one. He got done for using steroids.
Mr. Perfect. No longer with us.
No.
There is an array of people, his son,
who's still in the WWE at the moment, or WWF back in Mr. Perfect days, he had a short ban because he got caught using steroids at one point.
Yeah, but most of them are, let's be honest. You look at those guys.
Not anymore, though. There's a lot of smaller guys. There's a lot of littler guys who you can tell don't use steroids, you can tell all natural.
Okay, look, you're 15.
Yeah.
All right, you're coming into it, you're looking at it with fresh eyes, and sometimes it's the best way to look at it. Fresh eyes, as a 15-year-old, totally different. You look at this problem, and it is a big problem, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. People just seem to be getting a bit more sneakier and a bit more switched on with it. What would you do to combat it? What would you do to alleviate it? What would the punishments be? What would you do? If you were like, okay, we're going to make you, we're going to put you in charge.
Okay.
You're now the governor. So what are you going to do?
Bribes. Joking. No. We'll have just, again, well, stricter penalties. I think, like, you should get one chance. If you fail that chance, you get a second chance. And if you fail the second chance, you're banned for life.
Okay.
Banned for life. We should give everybody deserves a second chance. That's what I believe.
Look at everyone deserves a second chance.
Everybody deserves a second chance.
In what circumstances do they deserve a second chance? When they can prove that it was a bit of a mix up, or
if they get caught using steroids, they have to serve a short ban, say 2 or 3 years, and that's not short. But once they've done that, they have to. Do a couple tests to prove that they're no longer on steroids and that they weren't using steroids. So during that ban, they are tested regularly and ran. So when I say regularly, like they have a certain amount. They have like 5 tests, but the 5 tests are random, so they don't know when the tests are going to happen. So during that, and then when they come back, they're like the ones who are tested first, and then if they fail the second chance, they're out. You're not allowed to compete in that sport
ever.
Ever.
Banned
for life.
You can go in the steroid games.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to open up the steroid games just for you druggies.
Yeah.
Yeah?
We'll juice you up even more. We'll give you more steroids.
Okay. I think it is a fascinating thing, and it's very, very complicated. And you know, I would imagine that if you talk to most of the sportsmen and women, they don't really know a whole lot about it. They've surrounded themselves with people that do, and maybe they are the issue.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't like that back in the 40s and the 50s. Maybe it changed dramatically as the competition grew stronger. and so on. And that's in some ways, I look at sport and I think, when did it stop becoming a sport? Because it has. It stopped becoming a sport a long time ago. It's all about money. Too much. That's the motivation. Money. And if you don't win, you don't get paid. You don't get money. You don't get finances. And I think maybe we ought to strip it all back. But the genie's out of the bottle now. You're never, ever going to do that. I personally believe that a ban for life means a ban for life.
Yeah. You shouldn't be allowed to compete.
But that's... I mean, you say everyone deserves a second chance.
Everybody deserves a second chance, but what I'm saying is, you get one chance.
Yeah.
You fail that chance, you have to serve a ban, and then you can come back. If you fail that second chance, then you're out.
Okay.
You can't be trusted.
Gatland won the 100 metres World Championships. Now, I know that there'd be people be talking from the heart because they so wanted the other fella to win the gold again, and he didn't, and he was beaten by a man who was banned because he took substances. He was proven to be taking substances. He served his ban. He came back, and he won the gold. There were lots of boos around the stadium. What's your thoughts there? I mean, you know, here's a guy that... Okay, on one hand, you've got a guy that's been naughty.
Mm-hmm.
He's come good,
mm-hmm.
and he's kept going, kept his nose clean, and now he's world champion. So on one side of the coin, you can say to kids, hey, look, even if you make a mistake, as long as you're prepared to work hard and put that mistake right, you can still be world champion. That's good, but on the other side of the coin is, you think, okay, so this guy was a wrong'un. He took steroids and he served a little ban, moaned and groaned, never put his hands up to say he was guilty, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Always said, protested his innocence and so on.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and wins the gold medal.
Well, is he clean when he wins the gold medal?
Well, he obviously at the moment...
Yeah, so what's the problem? He's clean. He's not taking anything. He's the same as everybody else. He's just won because he just worked as hard as... The thing is, though, he's used steroids. He's not using, he's used steroids.
Sure.
So there's no advantage.
So there's no. So you don't think a lifetime ban is should be brought in there?
Not straight away. They should get a second chance.
Okay. But what about... Just say, for instance, what would be better? The point I was trying to make is... There was a guy that for a number of years protested his innocence,
mm-hmm.
said that he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Now, I would say to that, okay, if you can come out and say, because we proved you, we proved to the world that you were taking something that you should have been taking,
yeah.
Own up to it, be the bigger man,
yeah.
Own up to it, don't for 2 years protest.
Yeah.
That to me is wrong, that's the problem. It's when people can own up and they can say, hey, look, I did wrong, because that's a better message for youngsters coming through, yourselves.
If you've done so wrong, you should definitely own up.
But if you've got a guy that comes in and says, no, I didn't do anything wrong, and for 2 years he protests his innocence when he's been proven to be guilty, I think they should say to him, you are banned until you own up. Until you say and agree with what we found... We are not going to accept. We're not going to accept you back in, so you can go and win gold medals.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. You could do that.
Okay.
But yeah, I expect he'll probably own up straight away.
But he didn't, though, did he?
No, he didn't.
He didn't. For 2 years, he protested.
He's
like
protested.
So many of them do.
Yeah.
And I always remember Paul Merson when he was had problems with drugs.
Yeah.
And so did Tony Adams.
Mm.
And they owned up. And they actually went back into schools and they were telling youngsters and they were saying, look, this is what we did. It was wrong. Don't do it.
Yeah.
And they went right up in my estimation. But this guy, unfortunately, and I think this is the reason why there were more boos around, not just because they wanted the other fella to win.
Yeah.
It's because he protested his innocence. He said he wasn't guilty. He said he didn't do it.
He might have not done it. He might have been telling the truth.
But he was found guilty.
Yeah, he was found guilty.
It's
not always right. I'm just, no, but...
But you live by the sword, you die by it.
That's a good point. I guess you could say that.
If you accept the rules, you know, and I say that's the rules for everybody.
Mm.
Should have just owned up and said, hey, look, I've done it. And that would have been such a massive message for so many youngsters. Rather than, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. I didn't. And I'll be honest with you, that's probably the one thing, or there's probably a number of things that winds up Rog.
Oh, gosh.
But when people don't take responsibility for their own actions,
yeah.
When they don't take responsibility for their own actions, that to me causes a big problem. And this guy was protesting his innocence, saying that he didn't do anything wrong. He quite clearly did.
Yeah, he did.
And, you know, if he'd have done that, I think it would have been a lot better. He would have made it better for himself.
Like Lance Armstrong. He was convicted and he said, yeah, I did.
So. You just imagine, though, that is such a big, big story, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
We'll be talking about that. I mean, eight times he won?
Yeah.
Eight years. Times.
And they say he might have not been on steroids for all of them, but... Most of them.
Cast a shadow.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
On cycling. They were telling... I was reading last night, cycling is the biggest one. Cycling is huge. Lots of them have been taking substances.
Do you know what I find really quite fascinating and quite disappointing at the same time? Who's the guy that's just won the French road race for the last 2-3 years?
I don't know.
He's won it, and he's won something else this year. And I mean, is it Froome?
Froome?
Remarkable achievements. Absolutely remarkable. And yet, the negativity that came out of that. He should be a sir by now. He should be a lord by now. He should, you know, we should be saying to this, but what an incredible achievement.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're worried that, because they are saying, they've said in the past, they've accused him of... They've accused him of being on something. And so far, every time they've tried to prove that he has, he's quite clearly not.
Yeah.
But do you think they're worried now about not putting him up there too high on a pedestal, just in case, in a couple of years' time, something comes out?
Definitely.
Because this guy, Lance Armstrong...
They don't want to shoot themselves in the foot.
He was like god of the track, wasn't he?
He was. Everybody loved him. He was a sensation.
And now he's like...
Nobody really cares about him.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's a sad state of affairs, and that's where people like Lance Armstrong and your Gatlins of this world have left sport. They've left it in the gutter a little bit for the rest, and they've ruined it. Because you just look at Mo Farah. Farah has achieved in the last few
amazing.
Years.
It's amazing. Usain Bolt.
It is. Yeah.
Usain Bolt, quickest man alive, never touched anything.
That's why I think there should be something in place now that sorts it out. Now, we don't want this to come out in 5 years' time.
No.
Because we've idolised for 5 years, and, you know, people have got into the sport because of his achievements.
Yeah, definitely.
And you just think, well, how bad is that it takes 5 years to sort out? It shouldn't take that long. We should have something in place.
How long did it take to discover the Russian doping scandal of the statewide, you know, them all doing it?
Too long.
They said, what I was reading last night, they swapped samples from a hole in the lab wall. Like they cut a hole in the wall and were swapping. They were swapping that. That's how they were doing it.
You were joking.
No,
is that right?
No,
is
literally.
That real?
They cut a hole in the wall and they were swapping it out to get win gold medals.
That's amazing. How sad.
It was, they only discovered it because of a whistleblower. Guy saying, look over here.
That's why it should be... It should be simplified.
I don't trust it, though, still. Because what I discovered last night is one of the guys from one of the companies in Russia who is supposed to, like, be in control of discovering steroid scandals used to take bribes or not by athletes to do his job improper.
Yeah.
So he turned a blind eye. He got sent a letter by the guy in charge of the Olympics committee to discover steroids. Like steroid abuse and steroid juicing, he got sent a letter by him saying, I value our friendship more than anything else. That really sounds shifty to me. That does. Doesn't that sound shifty?
It does a bit. It does a bit. Do you know what I think? I think that they've got to put something that's really, really simple and transparent. And, you know, I am kind of picturing people... going back to the 1990 World Cup, there was a story about... who was it? They went into the England versus Germany semi-final, and England lost. Penalty shootout. You knew that. Yeah. You know that every semi-final that England are in, they're going to lose on a penalty shootout. Unless you count 1970, they were 2-0 up and lost 3-2 in the last 15 minutes. But anyway, they took, I think it was Chris Waddle and Stuart Pearce. They picked two people from the England team and two people from the German team, and they took them into a cubicle. And it was like a prison cell. If you read Stuart Pearce's autobiography, it has a whole chapter on it, and it's a fascinating thing where they basically they were in the changing room 1 minute, and then the next minute they're in a cubicle, they're in a prison cell, so to speak.
Yeah.
And they are there until they can produce a sample.
Yeah.
Okay. And because it was, I think the 1990 World Cup was in Italy. It was very, very hot. I think it was reported that Gary Lineker actually lost a stone during the match through fluid, sweat, and so on.
Jeez.
So he was struggling to produce a sample.
Yeah,
and you know, he was there for most of the night, struggling. But they didn't let him out.
Yeah, it's what I said earlier.
And I don't know what happens when, just say for instance, you run 100 meters and you go around the track, and you go around the track, and somebody hands you a bottle of water. That I think what should happen is, and it's a sad state of affairs that that's where we are today, that there should be somebody meeting you at the end, and they take you off somewhere, they take a sample from you there and then, whether it's blood or whatever.
That's what they do.
But they don't, do they?
Like, no, they do. Like what I said earlier with Olympics, as soon as they finish the race, they get almost like a personal chaperone that follows them around to make sure they don't try to tamper with anything, to make sure they don't try to take anything. For water-wise, I think it's supplied by the chaperone.
Yeah.
Like, it's regular tap water. They pour it out for them.
That's my whole point.
They can do what they want. They can go where they want. They just have to be followed by this person.
Well, my whole point is, in this sneaky little world we live in today, you've now let him wander around the track. He's now able to drink water freely. You don't know where that water's come from.
No.
And I say it needs to be open and transparent, and maybe they come off the track. And I know, I say this again, it's a sad state of affairs because this is where we are now. They need to go off the track. Still, you know, being seen if they can take, if it's a sample of blood, I'm not sure how. Not a doctor.
It has to be urine.
It has to be urine. But if you allow them to accept water, their argument might be, well, hang on a minute, it's been tampered with.
Yeah.
And I know that they'll probably say, oh no, this has been checked and double checked. But we live in an incredible sneaky world.
They can
world.
Put it in people's food. They eat something.
There you go.
It's food, pills, vitamins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just throw it out there. I'm not a doctor, I don't know. And I honestly believe it is a sad state of affairs that's where we are, where people are being so, so sneaky to win a race.
This is a really funny story. One of the guys in, I think it was, a marathon or something, they took a blood sample to test for other drugs.
Yeah.
And it was somebody else's blood in his veins. And his excuse was, it's a secret twin that evaporated into my body. That was his excuse. That was his excuse. Like, not, just stick your hand up and you say, yeah, I did this. Just, no, it was a secret twin.
Yeah.
It was silly. Absolutely ridiculous.
But you're right, though. It's a funny story.
Yeah, it is a funny story. Secret twin.
All right. Okay. We are going to come back and we're going to chat some more in 2 ticks.
This show is sponsored by God's Providence House. Find us in St. Thomas's Square, Newport, for great homemade meals, cream teas and cakes. We are open 9 to 5 all the year round. Find us on Facebook or call us on 522 085.
This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Did you have a good day with Grandpa yesterday?
Yeah, we went to the Shipwreck Centre and Maritime Museum with Tarleton Barnes. It was amazing. They had loads of things found deep under the sea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like gold and silver coins, old diving suits and a real mermaid. I even did a treasure hunt and got a prize.
That sounds great. Did Grandpa have fun?
He loved it. And he loved the free parking.
That sounds like Grandpa.
The Shipwreck Centre and Maritime Museum. A real flavour of the maritime world. For more, go to shipwreckcentre.com.
Christmas 1943. 3,000 people forced to leave the Devon coast. But why? 5 weeks before the D-Day landings, Eisenhower ordered Exercise Tiger to prepare his troops for battle. But what if you're 12 years old and you arrive on that beach when they do? When it's all going wrong? Author of Goodnight, Mr. Tom, Michelle McGorian says, "This is a wonderful book. It's a jewel," says actress June Brown. The Kid on Slapton Beach. Order it online or from your favourite bookshop now.
Sky Academy helps young people unlock their potential through TV, creativity and sport.
Turning my dream into a reality.
Kickstarting my career.
And helping me build confidence.
Through fantastic mentors and great opportunities.
We're discovering possibilities we never knew existed.
We believe in potential. Search Sky Academy to see how it can help a young person you know.
As a business, you have a legal responsibility to dispose of your waste in line with current government legislation. Island Environmental Hygiene Limited are an island company specialising in the collection of sanitary, clinical and hazardous waste, working closely with the Environment Agency to ensure your waste is disposed of legally. Our services are tailored to meet your needs. To find out more, visit islandhygiene.com or call 721 943.
The Four P's Project is proudly supported by Wheeler's Solicitors, helping you achieve your aims in life. We deal with residential and commercial conveyancing, wills, lasting powers of attorney, and probate. For more information, call us on 01983 533 938 or check out wheelers-solicitors.com.
And get in touch.
It's /Vectis Radio on Facebook. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
This show is sponsored by God's Providence House. Find us, it's at Thomas's Square, Newport, for great homemade meals, cream teas and cakes. We are open 9 to 5 all the year round. Find us on Facebook or call us on 522 085.
Okay, back to part 2. Here we are. We were talking about drugs in sports, steroids and so on, and we were talking about athletes. I want to talk about snooker players.
Snooker players?
And darts players. Just go with it.
Fair enough, let's go.
Just go with it. Back in the day, you know, we're talking, they probably don't do it now, but back in the day, probably about the 1980s, I remember watching snooker as a kid, and Hurricane Higgins would have been chain-smoking.
Yeah,
Bill Werbeniek would have been having 16 pints of lager a session. What's your thoughts on that?
See, I didn't ever really watch snooker. I watched darts quite a bit. Snooker's come for a bit more professional, a bit more gentlemanly.
Sure.
They're very quiet. They all wear white gloves and it's all... But
that's only the referees.
Well, no, they...
The players don't wear white gloves.
I thought they were white gloves.
No, they don't wear white gloves.
I know from watching stuff that snooker's still being taken over by people from Korea. There's a lot of other countries getting involved with snooker.
Okay.
The whole thing about drinking during the game, that's silly. You want to be in your A game and you're having 4 or 5 pints. That might affect your aim.
Do you know what, Bill Werbeniek, is his reason for drinking 16 pints of lager is it steadied the nervous twitch in his elbow.
I guess so.
So yeah. is that an enhancement?
Might be.
So should it have been banned?
Yeah, probably. That is actually, if it's enhancing his abilities, then yeah, should have been banned.
Okay. Well, what about smoking then?
Smoking, does that help anything?
Well, I don't know.
I thought smoking just screws up your lungs.
Yeah,
I
think you'll find that it will have. I mean, why do people smoke? A lot of people go, "Oh, I needed that," and it's a shot of gives you a buzz. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so you just imagine you're playing snooker.
Yeah.
Years ago, you would be able to have umpteen cigarettes during a session. You wouldn't have to go out to the loo and have them. You can have them while you're playing. Okay, it's the same with the lager too. You know, Bill Werbeniek, he wouldn't go out in the back room and have his 19 or 16 pints. He would have it there and then, in the game, during the game, part of the game. and you think, okay, you allowed that. I don't know what the rules are now, but do they actually, when they go and have a cigarette, do they actually test them when they come back in? Because they have a break now and again. They'll have four frames and then yeah. they'll disappear for a 15-minute break. Now, you could have five or six fags in that time.
You could.
And is that going to enhance your game? Is it going to relax you?
Maybe. Maybe that's something they should investigate.
Maybe they should.
No.
But it was quite clearly out there years ago because, yeah. you know, the whole tournament would have probably been sponsored by Embassy, you know, cigarettes. And, you know, there we were quite clearly seeing these people smoking and they could have had anything in their cigarettes.
See, the thing is with pool is it's not really a sport that I'm not going to say it doesn't involve. It's a more of a skill game, but it's not very physical, is it?
See, I agree with that, but you say that to a snooker player or a dart player.
They'll probably feel a bit offended, to be quite honest.
They probably will be, yeah.
But when I see a snooker, all you're doing is leaning over a table and hitting a ball with a bit of stick. I might be wrong. There might be a massive amount of training and conditioning.
There have been people in the past few years that have tested positive and been banned.
What, for steroids?
For periods of time. Drugs.
Drugs. Ah, yeah. See, that's different. They're not. It's probably just cannabis or cocaine or heroin. Not
still the same. Still amounts to the same thing, isn't it?
They're a different class, I think. Different class drugs.
But it still amounts to the same thing. They are feeling the benefits of either being relaxed or pumped up or whatever. You know,
you could say the same about love, though.
Could you?
If somebody's... you could, though.
What, loved up?
Yeah, loved up.
Yeah, but that if you are, then you're not breaking any rules and regulations when it comes down to sport, are you?
Guess you could say so. Yeah. But with darts players, it's a bit, you know, different. Because with darts, it's like... Darts, can I just say something? Dart players make me laugh. Because they look like somebody that you're like your dad's mate that's always down the pub every Friday night. They do, though. Phil the Power Taylor. Looks like somebody my dad knows.
Well, I take your point on that. And I know that they probably drink less now because, again, it's taken a bit more serious.
They've got to have their aim straight.
They have.
Yeah, everybody else in the crowd's drinking, though. Everybody else is having a good time.
Yeah, but it's an interesting one, and they ought to look at that and I think and combine the two and think, okay, well, if you are smoking, you nip off to a break. You know, are you allowed to?
Well, in darts now, they're only allowed water.
Are they?
A big jug of water next to them.
That's so wrong on every level. You want pints of beer. Some of these, I mean, we always used to have some really big, chunky darts players.
Oh, my, they still are.
Well, not drinking water, surely. That's not a good advert, is it?
Phil the Power Taylor. What's the other?
He shrank.
Snake Bite? Is he the one with the mohawk and
I don't
all
know.
The stuff on the side of his thing? He's quite big. There's the other. Most dart players are big guys.
Okay, should we change tack now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, you said something really interesting a little while ago that you used to watch Only Fools and Horses with your granddad, Rog.
Yeah.
Okay, and you still do?
Yeah.
Okay, and bearing in mind that was first screened in 1981 and you are only 15.
Yeah, I was born in 2002.
So there you are. I mean, it's timeless.
Yeah.
I don't know too many comedies that are absolutely that timeless. I mean, you mentioned another one, Dad's Army.
Dad's Army.
Which do you prefer?
Dad's Army.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Well, there's a channel, Gold, plays... Yeah. Carry On films, those are still pretty popular.
Do you watch Carry On films?
I do all the time.
Now, I could drop in and drop out.
Carry On Cabby is hilarious. It is so funny. Carry On Camping.
Yeah.
The woman they're on the. There's a woman they're on the bus, isn't there? Carry On. Is that, or is that another. I'm thinking of another TV show where they're on the
buses. Are you thinking on the buses, eh?
There's. Yeah, On the Buses. That was a good one.
See, that's another one that is...
Fawlty Towers.
That's even older.
What's the one where they're in Dinner Ladies, is it? Where they're all the cafeteria?
Yeah, that's probably funny. 90s.
That's 90s.
But the question was, there was this sitcom from the 1960s, we're talking Dad's Army, and there you are, watching it, loving it.
I've got the box set at home.
See, just to re-enhance the point, love it so much you went and bought the box set. How much did you pay?
I don't know, as a Christmas present.
Right, but and you watch it?
Yeah, I watch it on a regular basis. All the time. I watch Lauren and Hardy. Silent films.
I'm starting to get a little bit worried about you now. But the point I'm making, all these are really, really old. And we were watching something the other day, and we thought, oh, this is dreadful. They won't be watching this in 10 years' time, or even 50 years' time, like you are watching Dad's Army.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. So we asked the question, is there anything that is being made or being made in the last 10 years that you think we'll still be watching in 50?
I said Big Bang Theory earlier, but I'm sort of second-guessing myself now because I don't think it will. Because it's just... Maybe. I know there's other TV shows, not just specifically comedies, that will be watched later on in life.
Okay.
Like Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad. But comedy-wise, I don't think so now.
Well, they've tried to... did you ever watch Porridge, the original Porridge?
I did watch Porridge. Porridge was hilarious.
It was brilliantly acted, and it was superb. And Ronnie Barker just had the knack of being perfect all the way through. And he was just so incredibly funny, so incredibly gifted. I don't know whether you've seen the remake. Have you seen the remake of Porridge?
No, I have not.
I can recommend it. I don't think it's nowhere near as funny as the original. But the guy in it, he's got the Fletchisms.
You could say the same about... is it called? Oh, I keep... It's the one about with the... It's got the same guy out of... he owns a shop, a little shop. It's him and that same guy out of Porridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did the episode recently. Like, they redid it and it was all right.
I thought it was awful. It was the guy that you're talking about is David Jason.
Yeah, David Jason.
He was obviously in Only Fools and Horses, but he was also in the original of that. He played Granville.
Yeah.
And I think he did that originally as a tribute to Ronnie Barker.
Yeah.
Because they had a great friendship. They used to call each other the Governor.
Yeah.
And I looked at that and I thought, I watched it and I thought, oh, this is so, it's cringy. It really is cringy.
Yeah.
I didn't like the original much, to be quite honest.
I liked it.
I didn't like the original. I liked Only Fools and Horses, liked Porridge. Didn't mind Dad's Army. But some of these things that they remake, I just don't think they cut the mustard. I really don't think. But if you get half an hour, watch the Porridge thing, the new one. I mean, it's nowhere near like the original, but this guy is so much like Ronnie Barker with his I can't even tell you, but he stood out for me. When you watch him, it's almost like he could be Ronnie Barker's son. There's all these Fletchisms that come out, the way he talks, the way he sort of looks at people, the little things that, you know, and you just look at it and think, wow, he really is like him.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere near as funny. Nowhere near as funny. So Dad's Army stood the test of time.
Dad's Army stood the test of time.
Carry-on films.
Oh my gosh,
I mean, bearing in mind, some of them carry-on films are 1950s.
Monty Python films are cult classics. Everybody loves a good Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Okay.
That is the funniest film ever.
What I was going to say, before you cut me off, we're going back even further with some of those carry-on films. The 1950s, so we're talking 60-odd years old. And we're still watching it, and some kid, 15, living in Cowes, is watching it and loving it. I mean, that is a tribute, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a tribute in itself. But nothing other than the Big Bang Theory you can think of that's around today, comedy-wise, we'll be watching 50 years' time. And you've got your doubts about it, haven't you?
I don't know. Do you think there's anything that will stand the test of time?
No, I don't. I really don't. When you mentioned Game of Thrones. I love Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is amazing.
It is. But do you think we'll still be watching it and thinking how great it is in 20 years' time?
100%. Game of Thrones is amazing. I'm not caught up yet, but there are some very good episodes.
How far did you get?
I'm on season 4, I think, just halfway through season 4.
Oh, crikey, you've got a long way to go.
I'm really far behind.
Now, I only started watching it probably about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And we, like, binge-watched and caught it up and some. I'd say love it. I just think it's absolutely phenomenal. Will it still be there in 20 years' time? I don't know.
I think so. I think there's three that will make it. Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, and Breaking Bad. Maybe some other ones, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But you could say the same that what we're talking about now with films. What films are we going to be watching later on, thinking, oh, these are amazing?
Well, let's put it to the test. What was the last film you watched?
Recently?
What was the last film you watched that was at least 20 years old? He's thinking. He's still thinking.
Gosh.
Beverly Hills Cop? Any of the Die Hard movies? Seen those?
I've never seen any of the Die Hards. Never.
Wow.
Never seen any of the Die Hards.
Okay. Star Wars.
Is it bad that I've barely seen any Star Wars?
Well, no, it's not bad. It's just answering the question. They haven't stood the test of time for you as yet. But you've probably been too busy watching Dad's
last
Army.
Last film I probably saw that was over 20 years old.
Any of the Rocky films?
I haven't seen any of the Rocky films.
Okay.
Great. Full Metal Jacket.
Okay.
Full Metal Jacket.
Probably about 90s.
Yeah.
Okay, so you watched that?
Yeah, Full Metal Jacket was amazing. I love Vietnam War films.
Okay.
They're the best.
Seen a Deer Hunter?
Yes. That's good. When they're doing the roulettes.
Yeah.
The first one where they're, screaming at each other.
Yeah.
That's good.
So that one's 70, probably about 78.
Yeah.
Yeah. That stood the test of time, mate.
Mm.
We watched that very recently. Well, probably in the last two, three years.
Mm. Scarface?
No.
You ever seen Scarface?
No, I've never seen Scarface.
That's good.
So all those big movies in the 1980s, you haven't really seen?
Terminator. Oh, I saw Predator recently.
Okay.
I don't know how old that is.
Terminator? Are you talking old or new Terminator?
Oh, the first Terminator.
Okay.
First Terminator. Classic Arnold.
I only watched that when the last one came out, because we watched them, because I'd never seen them. So we spent time going back to the beginning and watching the whole lot. I must admit, didn't do it for me. The latest one was brilliant. I thought that was really, really good.
Yeah,
but then,
it's good.
You've seen any of the Star Wars films?
I have. I've seen the most recent ones. I've seen the first one. I've seen all the... I saw number four.
Right.
Which was okay.
Okay.
I've seen number five. I've seen the ones that just come out. But that's it.
All right. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see, believe it or not, I didn't see Star Wars, any of the Star Wars films, until... Not the last one came out, the one before that, the year before, we watched them all together. There were six of them, I guess, and I'd never been so bored.
Lord of the Rings.
Are you Lord of the Rings?
I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. Although I could quote every single film word for word.
Okay.
I've watched them 1,000 times over.
So you'll also be a fan of The Hobbit too?
Yeah? Hobbit's amazing.
Okay. Now, I would imagine those films are going to stand the test of time.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, I was kind of bored for all of those. My wife was a big fan, just like you. What was it? Harry Potter? Do you think that'll stand the test of time?
Maybe, maybe not.
Well, we're still watching them. I mean, was it 2001?
2001.
First one that came out?
Was it? Was it 2001 or was it earlier than that?
Well, check it out. You've got the details there in front of you.
Oh, my phone's just died.
Has it?
Yeah, it actually has. You've got two computer screens.
You're doing the work, aren't you? You were telling me I don't need to look. I know it was 2001.
It's probably 2001. Let's just say it's 2001.
You're the one that questioned it.
Sorry. Jeez.
Right, so we'll check it out then.
Check it out.
Okay.
My phone's died.
If I'm right, 2001, you got to hoover up in a minute.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. 100%. If you say 2001.
All right, okay, I'm just checking out then. So any other films that you can think of that you've watched that's over 20 years old? Apart from...
I saw...
those old Carry On films. Go on, he's thinking. He's still thinking.
Yeah, I am. It's really hard. Gosh.
See, it worked better when you were looking at things and I was keeping the talking going. Now we've reversed the roles. I'm looking at stuff.
Yeah, I know.
And you're struggling.
I can't think of any. Oh, God.
Okay, the Philosopher's Stone, that's the first one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You're right, it was before, it was 1997, so you don't have to Hoover.
I don't have to Hoover, I'm safe.
But you've got to go home and Hoover.
Probably.
Okay, so that's 20 years ago and we're still watching it.
Yeah.
And very recently on ITV, they repeated the whole lot. So, with, you know, 20 years on, we're still watching them. I think that will stand the test of time, I really do.
I went to Harry Potter Studios recently with my school, still highly popular.
Yeah.
Everybody's there. It was packed. We could barely move.
There are things that are going to last forever. I guarantee if you started watching Die Hard movies, you'd probably get into that as well. Hey, look, we've got to go. It's almost 1 o'clock. Thank you for being a great guest. I know you've got another hour and then you've got to clear off and you're back to school tomorrow. Anybody want to say hi to before you go?
My dad, who's in Thailand at the moment. I think he's listening, so hello.
Over there in Thailand?
Yeah.
Getting a tan?
Yeah,
no doubt.
My mum, who's probably listening. Hello. What's for dinner?
What do you want?
Pizza. I always like pizza. My sister, who's listening down at uni.
Where's your sister at uni?
Marjon, which is Plymouth.
Okay.
My nan, she might be listening. It's her birthday. So happy birthday, Nan.
Have you got her a present? Have you got her a card?
I've got a card. Yeah. I've got a present.
So you're going to take it down later?
Yeah, take it down later. And, yeah, that's it.
Okay, all right.
All right.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for being there. And good luck back at school tomorrow.
Yeah, I've enjoyed being here.
Good.
I enjoyed my time.
Good. And the good thing is you don't have to Hoover.
Yeah.
Because you were right, 1997.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's 1 o'clock, and we've got on the way a special show. It's a connection show with Kelvin Curry. And stay tuned, because there may be some FM transmissions coming your way very soon if we get the thumbs up from Mr. Ofcom later today.